For Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. And on this day, U.S. senators consider trade action against Canada over whale protections. Excluding politicians and political parties from Rockland's Lobster Festival parade. Residents of a Maine island served by the State Ferry Service less than happy about a fare increase. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
A group of New England senators is calling on the U.S. government to speed up an analysis of Canada's efforts to protect the endangered North American right whale and to consider trade action if Canada's rules do not prove as strong as in the U.S. As Fred Bever reports, the issue is raising anxiety in the industry on both sides of the border.
The right whale's numbers have dropped to only 450 following an unprecedented spate of dead whales found in Canada's Gulf of St. Lawrence last year. The senators say U.S. fishermen have made big sacrifices to reduce impacts on the whales. Now they're calling on the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to investigate whether fishermen in Canada are being held to similar standards. And if not, they say, then NOAA should consider barring the import of Canadian seafood from the relevant fisheries.
You know, it's really a double-edged sword.
Patrice McCarron is executive director of the Maine Lobstermen's Association. She says Maine's lobster harvesters do not relish the prospect of a trade dispute with their neighbors to the north.
That is a very big hammer to use. But given the fact that we have, you know, media report after media report threatening that this whale species can go extinct and our fishery potentially could be shut down because of that, I think it does rise to the level that we have to have all options on the table.
McCarron acknowledges that the two countries' fisheries are interdependent. Because the Canadian lobster harvest is strongest in winter and the U.S. harvest is strongest in summer, together they keep the world supplied with American lobster year-round, and they keep cross-border market infrastructures humming. And that's why the Maine Lobster Dealers Association is opposing the senator's approach.
There is a very complicated and intricate supply chain that happens beyond the boat and beyond the dock.
Annie Salikas is executive director of the Dealers Association. She says the industry depends on consistent supply and on smooth avenues for trade.
In the absence of both of those things, it's very difficult for lobster businesses to maintain their markets and their customer base. And so the ripple effect of an issue like this would be massive for lobster companies in Maine.
Most right whale deaths are attributed to entanglements with fishing ropes and buoys or ship strikes. Since 12 whales turned up dead in the Gulf of St. Lawrence last year, Canadian fishery regulators have taken action, including new gear requirements for New Brunswick's growing snow crab fishery and moving its season around in an effort to get rope out of the water before the whales might show up. In the letter, its author, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, applauds Canada's actions, but he also says he's concerned it's not enough. And in Canada, the prospect of a shutout from American markets has rattled government officials.
The closure of access to that market would be the biggest single devastating thing that could happen to the Canadian fish and seafood industry.
Canadian Federal Fisheries Minister Dominic LeBlanc recently told crab fishermen that the stakes require the most protective conservation action possible. And he noted that U.S. regulators are responding dynamically to the whales' movements here, actions Canada will need to follow up on.
Because there were upwards of 90 right whales that were spotted off the coast of Massachusetts, the Americans decided to delay the opening of a lobster season. Those right whales, make no mistake about it, are heading north.
The letter was co-signed by senators from New Hampshire, Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey. Maine's Senate delegation was notably absent from the signature list, In a statement to Maine Public Radio, Senators Angus King and Susan Collins say if Canada's regulations can't be made more rigorous, they would support the acceleration of an investigation into those regulations, but they stop short of supporting potential trade action. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
This summer's annual Lobster Festival parade will have its usual share of fire trucks, floats, and marching bands, but you won't see any politicians or political parties making their way down Main Street in Rockland. It's the first time in the event's 70-year history that organizers have imposed such a restriction, citing concerns raised by other parade entrants. Keith Shortall has more.
Every August, the summer traffic in Rockland is rerouted from the downtown to make way for this. And this.
Mark Keith, Governor. Good luck. Good to see you guys. Thank you. Appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
That was Mark Eaves, a Democrat running for governor, pressing the flesh in last year's Lobster Festival parade. But neither Eaves nor any of his rivals in that race, or any other race, will be invited to take part this year, as the festival's board has voted to keep politics out of the parade. Board President Cynthia Powell declined to be interviewed, but issued a written statement saying that the decision was made after hearing concerns from parade participants and community reaction to past parades. In one published news story, Powell explained that some parade entrants didn't want to be associated with certain political groups that may have been marching before or after them. Some local politicians take issue with the policy change.
I have a problem with it.
Pinny Beebe Center is a Democrat who represents House District 93, which includes Rockland.
And the problem I have is this is a community parade. And we're all part of the community. I mean, the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and the politicians and the businesses. And in the world we're living in right now, it just seems there's so many divisions. It just seems a shame in Rockland to bring another division.
Beebe Center faces a challenge this November from Republican Maynard Stanley of Owl's Head, who's running on a platform of lower taxes, fewer regulations, and more personal freedom. Stanley didn't want to be recorded over the phone, but says he was looking forward to walking in the parade and that he's disappointed by the board's decision. State Senator David Miramont is a Democrat who represents Senate District 12, which includes Rockland. He says he, too, is disappointed that the festival board did not invite more public comment. He says there have never been any issues around political groups in the Rockland parade and believes that one of the board members may have been offended by an entry in last year's 4th of July parade in neighboring Thomaston.
People of both parties and independents, people like to see who they are, more than a name. And we try hard, but we don't get to every door. So it's a great way to meet and greet folks. We hear all the time how glad they were that we came out and marched. And it just seems like a heavy-handed move for no problem with this particular parade.
Some critics of the policy change say they hope further restrictions on religious entries, for example, are not imposed for future parades, as has happened in other communities. The application for the Yarmouth Clam Festival parade in July prohibits any entry that is political, religious, or controversial. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Keith Shortall in Rockland.
A new fare structure from the Maine Department of Transportation is being challenged by Islesboro residents who have been informed that their tickets to the mainland will more than double on May 21st. Some disgruntled islanders allegedly responded with threats of retaliation against DOT workers assigned to the state ferry service. And as A.J. Higgins reports, that has prompted DOT Commissioner David Bernhardt to make some threats of his own.
Every day, a ferry boat known as the Margaret Chase Smith makes 9 15-minute trips between Islesboro and Lincolnville on the mainland. On this day, the seas are calm, even if the attitudes among some of the motorists waiting to board the ferry are not. Things have been tense ever since Maine DOT Commissioner David Bernhardt threatened to suspend ferry service after islanders allegedly posted threats over the proposed fare increase. 87-year-old Marilyn Pendleton makes regular trips for appointments and other errands, and she says she'd expected a fare increase.
I figured it'd go up, but not that much.
Fares have not increased for nearly 10 years, and state transportation officials say operating costs have outpaced the original pricing formula that gave island residents a discount. This year, the DOT has attempted to standardize fare rates throughout the ferry system. And what that means is that travelers like Marilyn Pendleton will see the costs of her regular trip go up from just over $13 to $30. And for two people in a vehicle, the fare jumps even higher, from about $19 to more than $40.
It's going to be detrimental to the young families on the island who have children that want to go to the mainland more often than maybe some of us older people.
Sharon Ashley has been an islander for 36 years. She says the fare increases mean that life will change for many of the island's residents, and not for the better.
But even for my husband and I, we have a small business, and it could essentially put us out of business because we have a lot of workers that come from the mainland, and they're not going to be able to afford to come unless we pass the cost on to clients, which isn't likely to happen.
Some residents became so enraged upon learning of the fare increases last month that they took to social media to express themselves. Others chose to vent their frustrations at some of the DOT's ferry workers. Commissioner Bernhardt said one even went so far as to suggest firebombing the ferry service on the Islesboro Facebook page. Another told a DOT worker that it might be a good idea to wear a bulletproof vest. Bernhardt let Islesboro Town Manager Janet Anderson know that any additional similar behavior would leave the town without ferry service.
They said things in jest. I never got excited about it and thinking, you know, someone's going to firebomb the ferry. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Or telling the crew you might wear a flap jacket. I mean, it's the same kind of things they would kid me about if something, you know, crazy had happened.
At the Mainstay Ferry Service, the safety of our employees and the public is of paramount importance in the operation of the Mainstay Ferry Service. Any threats of violence, we have to deal with accordingly.
That's Mark Higgins, manager of the Mainstay Ferry Service. He says the commissioner's response has diffused the situation and tensions have eased. He also defends the ferry rates as needed, given the $11 million shortfall in the ferry service's budget.
One way to look at it is Islesboro is 40% of our ridership, and they produce 29% of our revenue. The revenue is not equal to the ridership. Under the new proposal that we have, they will be paying in 41% of the revenue, and their ridership will be right around 40% of the ferry services.
The new rates are scheduled to become effective May 21st. The Islesboro town manager says her community has retained legal counsel and plans to appeal the increases. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. Thanks to Susan Sharon and our digital team, Amit Morin.